Hey everybody, welcome to J&J on Jazz, powered by JazzWire. I want to introduce you to my friend James, and I know for a fact he has at least 42 different pocket squares.
That's right, they're in a box. And I want to introduce you to my friend Jeff, and he has at least one, or one too many, very loud and glamorous cowboy shirts.
Loud and glamorous, man, that's just kind of how I roll. Loud and glamorous. All right.
Must be a tenor player thing, Jeff. It's a tenor player thing, right?
It's a tenor player thing. So today, we want to talk to you guys about feel, about developing our feel, the importance of feel. But I tell you what, before we get going with that, James and I are both on faculty at Maryland Summer Jazz, which is coming up later this July, July 16 through 18. The next session is July 23 through 25. So definitely check the website and join us. It's online. So we have people from around the world signing up. And this is powerful. We've done this many, many times. We have people like Randy Brecker on trumpet and Kenny Werner on piano and many, many more coming in. Here's something interesting. I'm friends with some of the board members at Saramon House. Saramon House is in Portland, Oregon. It's an arts organization. It brings the arts community together in Portland. And what they are doing is offering a full scholarship, an entire scholarship to attend Maryland Summer Jazz and 6 months of JazzWire free. That's over $1,000 of tuition.
Wow.
So I know, right? So sign up here. Simple to sign up. And enter that drawing. And so if you can't attend Maryland Summer Jazz because of the resources, here's a way to get it done. So please, please, please check that out. Okay, so we want to get talking about feel. I think we can all agree that jazz and funk and, you know, all this great African-American bass music is about feel, right? The best notes in the world don't really matter if the feel isn't right. So James and I were talking about this, and I think that's one of the things that we dug about each other when we first played together was how good it felt to just play a melody together, if nothing else. So James, how do you think about feel or developing feel, or do you have sort of a framework for thinking about that?
Yeah, I this is something I really am passionate about, and it's I try to work on this a lot. When I'm working with students, I always start the conversation about feel by asking who that student is listening to, because I think it's important that you pattern your feel, especially in the developing stages of your journey through this music. It's important that you pattern your feel after at least a couple of the masters, regardless of what instrument they play, because that's really one of the most personal parts of a player's style, is their own particular feel. So for me as a trumpet player, I'm going to ask a trumpet student, okay, who are some of your trumpet heroes? And when we figure that out, then we can start the conversation of what do their lines and notes feel like? What's their time feel like? Can you imitate that time feel? So for me, it's a very imitation-based thing, and I think it's very intuitive for me, and I try to take that approach to teaching it with students.
Man, that is a great, you know, it's so simple, but I mean, I hadn't really, you know, gone there. That's not what I was thinking of today. That
okay.
idea of literally having somebody to pattern after. And it's great that we have these different approaches. That makes so much sense. And of course, we've all done that, but to do it consciously, that is very cool.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So I'll offer you another idea. We can go back and forth here. I think feel has something to do with familiarity.
Okay.
If you are not familiar with the music you're playing, it's probably not going to feel great, especially as a novice or an intermediate player. If you're worried about the fingerings or where your position is on the fretboard, or if you're voicing that note just right, it's kind of hard to have much bandwidth left over to think about the feel, right? Now, as a pro player who's put in 50,000 hours on the instrument, as probably both of us have, we can be sight reading some ridiculously hard music and have a little processor power left over for the feel. But so familiarity, so that's why we talk about memorizing these tunes, right?
Mm-hmm,
if it's inside your body, you're not having to look at the sheet of paper, which is taking up energy that you should be thinking about feel.
Right.
So that's a very different approach, you know, maybe a little more mechanical or something, but making it very tangible. You know, feel, a lot of people say, oh, you can't learn it if you don't have a good feel. You got to be born. You have to be this color. You have to be that color. No, familiarity is a good path, and having someone you want to copy. Two good paths. Man,
yeah.
I dig that. What else?
So the other thing, too, is you can get a little bit... I like that you said... maybe you said mechanical. I don't know that analytical. So sure. I also... I like to take that approach, too. So...
No, and I like that you also like to correct me, which, fair enough, okay.
I have a PhD, that's what we do. So
yeah, I have a red country shirt, that's how I roll. Anyway, go on with your PhD.
So, feel is definitely connected to tempo in a lot of ways too, right? And so that's that analytical part of it, which is when do your, like, let's get down to brass tacks. When do your eighth notes need to be based in that real swing eighth note triplet feel, almost 12/8, and when does it need to straighten itself out, right? So I think it's important for players to sort of know where their tendencies are, right? And this may be a little bit more of an intermediate thing, but it's once you've developed a good feel at a medium tempo and at faster tempos, do some self-examination. Where do I stop playing? Where is the line between this? And I'll use the tune Billy's Bounce as an example for this. So where's mm-hmm. the line between a more triplet-based feel? And a more even eighth note feel. Where's that line tempo-wise? I want to know. So you can get analytical with it as well.
I love that. And so to be clear right there, as you played slower, there was more of that triplet lilt, or whatever the right word is, in there. As you played faster, the eighth notes were straighter. And so we're really talking about analytically the mechanics of feel. It is something we can measure to a point, right? But feel also has the word, you know, it really brings up emotion as well, right? So there is that thing in there, but there's so much, you know, just emoting through your instrument, that's probably not going to do it. So I love these approaches. You know, one thing I know probably both of us are going to bring up at some point is articulation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, to me, when I'm talking to a big band about how to get everybody swinging together, the conversation is about articulation. How do we enunciate those notes, right? What makes a South African accent different than an English accent, different than an Australian accent? To a little kid, they may think those three are the same, but they're a little different, right? And it really has to do with enunciation of the words. Long syllables, short syllables, those sorts of things. Rounder syllables, harder syllables. That's articulation. That's mm-hmm. what we do, right? So if we think about that tune, Billy's Bounce, well, one thing feel-wise, and on Jazzwire, just today, I was talking to some people about playing more legato. And so I kind of hate to do this on the internet, is sound crappy, like on purpose, but, you know, here we go. Because I'm getting paid, it's a lot. I don't want to really say thousands for doing this episode. Are
it
you
is
getting
a lot,
thousands
though.
For this one?
Yeah, well, I'm paying you, and so I'm watching what's leaving my bank account every week, and I'm like, man, this guy Antonio is really raking it in. So you should expose yourself a little bit right now, and you're, you know, let them hear what you really can sound like on your worst day. So
what I really can sound like.
Yeah, do it.
Well, so I'm gonna do the good version, the legato version. Just that first opening line. And there's definitely articulation, and there's short notes and long notes, but in general, it was very legato. So a lot of people, when they play jazz, might do something like this. Lots of short notes and ricky-ticky, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, those sort of things. And the biggest thing, so essentially my advice to somebody, simple as it was do not tongue anything. Play that melody again, play Donna Lee, don't tongue a note. It sounded so much better. Now, is that the final goal, don't tongue a note? No, that's not how we play it. But did that person get 300% better in half an hour? Absolutely. So it's a big study. We're not going to get into it here today, but articulation to me is like the final frontier of like how to, you know, how to get this stuff done in a real tangible back and forth kind of way.
Yeah. And related to feel also, in addition to articulation, is also accents, right? And where you're placing the accents in your lines, which notes are you emphasizing, which notes are you de-emphasizing? So when you're de-emphasizing a note, sometimes people call that a ghost note. For trumpet players, sometimes we say we ghost tongue a note. And being able to, again, I go back to listening to the players and imitating your heroes. For trumpet players, and for, geez, for anybody for that matter, the two masters that come to mind of the ghost note are Clifford Brown and Clark Terry. And so being able to get inside of those players' styles and play a melody like Billy's Bounce in the style of these different players will help you to develop a wider palette of options when it comes to feel. So if I were to ghost some notes in Billy's Bounce, maybe try to make it kind of Clifford Brown-esque, it might kind of sound like this.
Yeah, man.
So it's connected to articulation, of course, but just being able to swallow those notes, to de-emphasize them and really overemphasize those accents, to me, that's a very specific feel and a specific style that that I like to use a lot in my playing.
I love that. And now, so you had a style. You said this is going to be in the style of Clifford, and I totally got that. And then my point about familiarity. You know this song inside out, and you're super familiar with Clifford, right? And you've worked on those little moments. You've slowed those down. You're not just blasting them off for the first time. So, yeah, that's a really big deal. And by the way, so I mentioned working with somebody this week. This is all inside Jazzwire. So I'd love for you guys to sign up, do this free limited trial. Come into Jazzwire, see what we're doing. It's free for a week, no credit card, no nothing. 20 seconds from now, you can be looking around inside Jazzwire and doing this work. Like, imagine a conversation like this with me 7 days a week, 24/7, right? That's the sort of thing we do at Jazzwire. So for you folks out there wanting to work on feel, it requires a lot of back and forth. It requires some feedback. So this is going to be a good way to do it. So man, I love that. And I think we can kind of leave it there. I mean, on that great playing and how people heard what you were doing there and how you were linking it to somebody. Now, it could be Clifford Brown. It could be Dave Sanborn. It doesn't really matter the style, right? But feel is feel. It's going to be different from person to person. And now I think people have a little bit of a framework knowing how to approach it, right? Knowing your instrument so much better. You're talking about ghosting notes. That took me months and months to learn when I was in my 20s. That didn't just happen because I heard it and someone said, hey, ghost that note. No, that's a mechanical device I had to learn, right? So that's great. So I hope this gives people a tangible path forward. In these videos, we want to have some fun, present some good information. But at the end of the day, I want you guys to know, you know, what to do when you pick up your instrument 3 minutes from now.
Jeff, before we leave it, having people to bounce these ideas off of is critical because we're not on the other end of the bell. We're not at the other side of the drum set. Having other people that can hear you as you're trying to develop these nuances in your playing and having feedback, that's really important. And I know that that's something that you do a lot of in Jazzwire. And so, you know, I can't emphasize enough how being part of a community like that can really help you to grow, particularly with these more nuanced things, which are really important in your development as a player. So I had to get that out there so people could hear that.
That's it. You know, every great actor that you hear doing an accent has a dialect coach. They do. That's why they're on the big screen, super famous like you and me, James, is because they study their craft, right? So studying the craft, right?
Yep. You should hear my Swedish accent. It is amazing.
Is it a little bit like the Swedish chef from the Muppet Show? I'm going to guess.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I've had some good teachers, so.
Yeah, absolutely. More of that next time. All right, well, I really want you guys to enter the Saramon House giveaway for free tuition to a session of Maryland Summer Jazz and 6 months of Jazzwire. This is the biggest giveaway we've ever done in 4 years. So over $1,000 worth right there. So go there, sign up, and I hope I'll be seeing you at Maryland Summer Jazz. James, thanks, man. We will see these nice people next time.
All right, everybody, be cool. See ya.